As a child, growing up in the life of the church, one thing became fairly evident, that it was important to talk about our faith, that we would gather in a room and open up the pages of Scripture, read one of the stories, and talk about what it meant, that someone would ask a question about God and we would open it up for discussion, that we would encounter this life and then talk about what the calling of faith looks like in our lives. But even with all of this practice talking, it can be difficult when in the middle of our lives, an opportunity presents itself to talk about our faith. That it can feel like a tongue twister. That how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? That if we tried to express and share with somebody else what prayer means in our lives, what effect it has on us, and why we hold it close, it can be so hard to put that into words. Or if we were asked to describe why we gather with others each week in order to worship, and what impact that has on our everyday lives, our tongues can get all twisted. And here we find Paul talking about faith in Rome amongst Jew and Gentile. And he's trying to describe how God loves us just the way we are, but much too much to leave us that way. That should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? He says, by no means. I remember walking through campus in college at that other school, and right in the middle of campus was a free speech platform next to the student center. And every now and then, there was a scheduled event, a reading or a musician or something like that. But then there were other times where someone just showed up because they had something to say. And a couple times a year, a couple preachers would come to talk about faith. And it was interesting how that free speech platform was just 3 feet off of the ground, but it seemed to give them the sense that they stood much higher than everybody else, because they would tell everybody who would listen, and even those who would not, pointing a finger around the crowd and saying, "You are living in sin." And they would wave a Bible in the air and say, "We do not live in sin. And if you have faith in God, you will not either." Despite the fact that the Bible that they waved in the air says in 1 John, if we say we do not have sin, we deceive ourselves. And it was loud. And it was harsh. And it grated against your life and soul. And it's hard for a message like that just to go in one ear and out the other without affecting us at all. So it can be hard to hear what Paul is trying to say about sin and grace because of the echoes of what others have said. that Paul is simply trying to describe a new beginning. Like Abraham and Sarah feeling that calling of God to leave where they were and to venture into the unknown. Or how Ruth made a commitment to Naomi to go with her wherever that may lead. Or how Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets behind in order to follow Jesus. Or how Mary Magdalene went running as fast as she could from the empty tomb in order to proclaim the resurrection. That it is a new beginning. As Paul says, when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead, so may we too walk in newness of life. But it can be hard to talk about that new beginning, to talk about our faith, not only because words are inadequate, but also because they are so powerful. The disciples discovered this in the Gospel of Matthew as they were sent out and then faced persecution because of what they said. They were threatened, harmed, because of the words that they spoke. And we do not face much persecution, but to love is to risk, even with our words. It's why Jesus says, I do not bring peace, but a sword, which admittedly sounds rather odd, because Jesus also said, blessed are the peacemakers. But peace strives for a world that looks more like the kingdom of God. So there is always struggle and risk, especially with what we say, because it is in losing our lives that we find them. Whether it is angry preachers or the persecution of the church, we see the danger of cheap words. Words that are haphazard, harsh, or careless. That it is enough to make us retreat into the comfort of silence. That silence has long been a refuge from careless speech. But silence is not completely safe either. That we are called to talk about our faith. That it's when we hear the racist joke or undertones of prejudice that we are called to speak up, to say we cannot laugh or agree. Or it's the need to speak up because a conversation has eroded into hearsay and rumors out of resentment and fear. It's a willingness to speak honestly, even though we know we are going to be criticized. It is asking for clarity before we walk away out of frustration and say something harsh about somebody else in a snap judgment. That we are called to speak the ways of Jesus. It is not only walking in newness of life, but also talking in newness of life. It is what Wendell Berry describes as a tongue free from fashionable lies. Harry Emerson Fosdick says that we must learn to redig old wells. In the wells of mercy and justice, love and grace, hope and service have been passed down to us from Paul and Mary Magdalene, from Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa. But we must redig them time and time again, especially with our words. Because so often actions follow our words. We're called to talk about our faith because we want our children to be proud of us, to know that what we taught them in kindergarten about how to treat others or how to think about other people is true for our lives even now. And we want our friend to know that who we say we are is who we are when nobody is watching or when someone is watching who might criticize us. And we want the stranger to know that the first impression of us is also a lasting impression of us. And we need the world to know that the church can be trusted when we say, God is love. So grace abounds, but not because sin abounds, but because God's love is greater than we could ever imagine, that God knows the number of hairs on our heads, that it is a new beginning. And as we begin, we will stumble over our words. We will fall silent when we hope to speak up. We will need the grace of others as others will need grace from us. And there will be times where it feels as if we have lost our lives. But rest assured, God will find us yet again. Amen.